We have been looking so far in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, looking at the Beatitudes. So far we have looked at Matthew 5, verse 3, 4, and 5. Those first three Beatitudes that we've specifically noted are necessary for entrance into the kingdom. That one must first be poor in spirit. There has to be a humility that we have before God that recognizes I did not create myself, I cannot provide for myself, and I cannot save myself. To recognize that man is indeed dependent upon God. To recognize that we must turn to Him and follow Him. That we must be able to mourn. Specifically there, that men will mourn over sin. He will mourn over the effects of sin that's brought on in his life. He will mourn over the fact that sin has separated him from God. He will mourn over the fact that Jesus Christ had to come to this earth to die for sin. And so mourning, be willing to turn from it. But also last week we studied one must be meek. It is one must be willing to submit his will unto God and decide that I am going to follow him. This week I invite you to Matthew 5 and verse 6. As we look, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Here is a characteristic that we'll say is necessary for growth in the kingdom. Now make no mistake about it, even though we're making some distinction here, those first three characteristics we've studied are going to continue to be necessary in the life of the Christian. We have to maintain that attitude of being poor in spirit. We have to maintain the ability to mourn over sin when it once again comes into our life. We have to maintain that characteristic of being meek, that we continue to submit ourselves to God's will. But then when we follow those characteristics, I believe that's going to lead us right up to the point of obeying the gospel. And we have to now make this determination to grow as Christians, to have this blessedness of righteousness in my life. And in fact, it's going to be a drive, it's going to be a desire, that I am going to hunger and thirst after righteousness. That I begin having this mindset that it's not just something I kind of like. It's not just something that I have an interest in. But I am hungering, I'm thirsting, I'm longing after it. I thought of the distinction. Two people came into my mind, Garrett and Seth. These are two people that we like to pick on that kind of like to eat a little bit. They have a good appetite. Garrett, his dad will pick on him, and Caitlin too, that have a rather healthy appetite. Seth, I know a little bit more by experience. We can eat dinner, and an hour later, he'll say, I'm hungry. Well, what are we going to eat? And that's not the type of hungering I'm talking about. Not just the little twinge that comes along every hour or two and says, it sure would be nice to have something to eat, something to nibble on. I think much more of the man that is wandering in the wilderness, much more of the one that's been separated from food, separated from water. And he is now longing after it. He's searching after it, recognizing that his very existence, his very health, depends on him being able to find food and water once again. So Jesus says should be our attitude or should be our approach to righteousness, that it is something that I hunger, is something that I thirst after. Now, I want to make a few points concerning this desire. First off, that it is a respectable or healthy desire. Unfortunately, there would be those in the world that look at someone hungering and thirsting after righteousness and say, well, they're just odd people. There's something not quite right with them. When really this is the person that has their mindset trained correctly. That I am hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And someone might ask the question, but wherein lies the benefit of hungering and thirsting? Rarely do we look at someone that's hungry or do we look at someone that is thirsting and we say, well, now there's a person that's blessed in life. And yet I do believe there's a way in which we can look at this that understands, even it's true of a physical sense, that it's good to hunger and thirst. Is it not a good thing? that we have an appetite? Is it not a good thing to desire food? Is it not a good thing to desire water even? It's our body's way of showing us, I recognize I have a need, I have a deficiency, and I'm longing for it to be fulfilled. When that appetite goes away, there is a great problem. I oftentimes think of the older person that no longer has a desire to eat, no longer has an appetite. He doesn't want to partake of food, doesn't want to drink anything. A person that remains in that condition will either have to have something changed, whether it be a mindset or a health problem that lies behind that, or there are going to be fatal consequences. We have to have that hungering and that thirsting if we're going to make it in life. I think also of the young child, maybe, whose body is not operating possibly as it should, who does not have this appetite that they should have. And that indicates a problem as well. I have a niece that was born about 2 or 3 weeks after Hannah. By the time that Hannah was 20 pounds, this niece was barely 10 pounds. She didn't have the appetite that she should have had. When she did eat, she was rarely able to keep very much down. I don't remember for sure whether she ever had to be hospitalized or not because of that condition, but it was at least threatened. The doctors would diagnose her with failure to thrive. She wasn't progressing. She was not progressing physically as she should. Because of those lack of nutrients and the things that her body needed, she wasn't progressing mentally as she should. She was behind developmentally because she didn't have this proper hunger and thirst after food, after the things that would sustain her. Thankfully today, she's been able to, they worked with her, they were able to bring her back around. She is catching up very quickly, both in size and developmentally. But you can see even in those examples where yes, hungering and thirsting after food, after those things that our body needs, is a good thing. How much more is that true spiritually? That we need to be hungering and thirsting after righteousness, after those things that are right and those things that are good. And I have to wonder, how many Christians are just like that niece of mine? They could be diagnosed with a failure to thrive. Because if we don't have this hunger, if we don't have this thirst after righteousness, after God and after His will, we will not thrive as Christians. We will not continue to mature. Two particular verses come to mind. Peter reminds us that as Christians, we are to be as newborn babes desiring the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. If you don't have that desire, actually that should be verse 22. If we don't have that desire, that longing, we're not going to grow. We're going to remain spiritually immature. As we look in that same context in 1 Peter chapter 1 and or 1 Peter 1 and in verse 23, I've gotten some of my verses mixed up here. That is right, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. I'm referring now 1 Peter 1 and verse 23. Peter had reminded them, you have been born again. You've been born again by the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Now continue to grow thereby. It's by this Word of God that's been preached unto you that you have received. It's because you've had those right characteristics of being poor in spirit, of being meek, of submitting your will unto God, that you have obeyed the gospel. But now what are you going to do with it? Are you going to continue to grow? Are you going to continue to mature? It seems oftentimes people are driven by their appetites. But is it an appetite for God's Word? I'm afraid too often our appetites in this world are things of the world. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, it's the pride of life. It's the seeking after material possessions, it's the seeking after the fame of the world. It's seeking after that which we think is going to bring us pleasure and joy in life instead of having our appetite set on the Word of God. Instead of hungering and thirsting after righteousness. What are we hungering for? Peter reminds us, hunger, desire, even as a baby desires milk whereby it's going to grow. You as a Christian, you desire the Word of God that you can grow thereby. Because what happens if you don't? Then it can be written unto us as it was unto the Christians in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. You haven't grown. You haven't matured. When we look around at Christians that have hungered and thirsted after righteousness, we're not going to find them in the same place spiritually when they first became a Christian as they are 20 years later. They're going to have grown. They're going to have matured. They're going to be able now to be teachers, instructors of others. They should be able to help others grow. They should be able to help encourage, edify, build up one another. They should not be in the same place that they were 20 years ago when they were baptized into Christ. Have you grown? Have you matured? The writer of Hebrews there is going to continue to say, that you have not exercised these things. You haven't used them. You haven't studied them. You haven't learned them. You haven't meditated upon them. You haven't applied them to your life. And so because you haven't searched after these things of God diligently, you haven't grown and you haven't matured. You have failed to thrive. And such is indeed the case if we don't hunger and thirst after righteousness. Men are going to go to great efforts to find the food that they need, to find the things that will sustain their life. You think of one that is truly hungry. Is he going to go out and work? Is he going to go out and search? Is he going to go out with diligent effort to find that which his body needs to continue living? The answer there most definitely is yes, he will. If he is at all capable, he will. The Christian has to sustain himself by the Word of God. He has to continue growing thereby. So we have to ask ourselves, what effort am I going to put forth? I think of the psalmist. I'm going to read some verses from Psalm 119 and think about his attitude toward the Word of God and see if it's not the same attitude that we express or not. Psalm 119, verse 10 and 11. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. O, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. I recognize the need of it. I long for it. I search after it. I desire it in my life. Verse 97. He also says, O, how I love Thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Every now and then, God, I seek after Your Word. Once a month, God, I seek after Your Word. Occasionally, God, I seek after Your Word. He says, it is my meditation all the day. I long to know more about Your will, about Your Word. He says in verse 103, well, how sweet are Thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. God, I desire Your Word even above the physical things of life that bring pleasure to me. That Your Word is sweet into my mouth. He says in 105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. It is something that is needed. It is something that guides me, that directs me. And so I seek after it. And again, in verse 131, He says, I opened my mouth and panted. I longed for Thy commandments. I wanted to know more. I sought after them. I desired them. Is that the same attitude with which we as Christians seek after the Word of God? It is a respectable, it is a healthy desire. We have to ask ourselves, is it a desire that I have in my life? If not, it needs to be. Because also we need to recognize it is a righteous desire. It's a desire to see righteousness prevail. It is a desire that righteousness is developed in my life. It is a desire that it is what I search after all the days of my life, to do right and to know right, that I'm going to follow the ways of God in my life. I think we could describe it as the desire that Peter speaks of in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, when he says, by the word of God, be ye holy, for I am holy. It's a desire that wants to be more like God. It's a desire to be in a right relationship with God. Instead of being separated from sin that we have mourned over, because I in meekness have submitted my will to His, I know my sins are forgiven and I can walk now in this right relationship with God. That I want to live a life that is holy. I want to live the type of life that my God, my Creator, would have me to live. I want to exhibit the type of characteristics that He would have me to exhibit in my life. Am I diligently seeking after those things? One thing we can know for sure is that it's only going to come if we have a knowledge of God's Word. We can't have righteousness in our lives if we don't know the things that are right. We cannot have righteousness in our lives if we don't do those things also that we know are right. We are told in 1 John 3 and verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Certainly we'd think of righteousness as a characteristic of God, but now it's a characteristic we're seeking even in our own lives. And we begin to ask, how can I have righteousness in my life? You do righteousness. This is something we have to be active in. It's something we have to be doing. But we might still well ask the question, what is righteousness? What is it that I am to be doing? We go back and we see the attitude of the psalmist. He will say in Psalm 119 and verse 172, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. You want to know what is righteousness that we must do in order to be righteous in the sight of God? The very commandments of God. We're going to follow after the things that He has told us in His Word. It's going to be the characteristic we've already developed in our life, that I am searching after the knowledge of God. But now He says we're going to search after it with a renewed zeal and an effort. I'm hungering and I'm thirsting after it that I might grow thereby. That I'm going to continue to develop my faith. I'm going to continue to grow as a Christian because of this hungering and because of this thirsting. We can see this in Romans 1, verse 16 and 17. As Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel of Christ. It is revealed in His Word. Are we going to live by faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. It's by knowing and following the Word of God, by obeying and continuing in faithfulness to the gospel of Christ, that I can follow after righteousness, that I even can be righteous. For he that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as God is righteous. Is that the kind of desire that we have in our life, a right desire? To know what's good, to know what's right, and to follow after it? First off, I believe when we have that kind of desire, it's going to show a determination in our life. A determination to know God's will and a determination to do it. Many examples that we could go to, but I think first of the Jews on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Who, when they had been pricked in their hearts by the gospel that was being proclaimed, they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? That's the question of hungering and thirsting after righteousness. What shall we do? We're going to go to the pages of God's Word. We're going to let His Word answer that question. What shall I do? When the question was answered in verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What did they do? Verse 41 and 42, they that gladly received His Word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Here are people that begin to show us this characteristic of hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Because we're going to ask the question, what is it, God, you would have me to do? And when the answer is, or when the question is answered, we're going to do it. We're going to seek after it. You'll notice they obeyed the gospel invitation here, and then they continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. They continued learning more about who God would have them to be, and they continued applying those things to our life, to their lives. That's the same type of characteristic that we must have. But we can think of a counterexample. These were a subset of Jews. In fact, this was a subset of those that had gathered there. There were only about 3,000 souls added to the church that day that gladly received the Word. Oftentimes we go to Acts 2 and verse 41 and say, you know, here's this great number. And indeed it is. But there were many more on that occasion that were listening, that were gathered there, that did not gladly receive the Word. In fact, of the Jews as a whole, they tended to reject the gospel. We see this as Paul is writing in Romans 10, verse 1 and 3. His heart was breaking. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved. I long for the salvation of the Jews. I pray for the salvation of the Jews. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Well, they like to serve God. They like to think they're being faithful and obedient unto Him, but it's not according to the knowledge of His Word. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They have not submitted themselves to God's will. And sadly, there are many like them even still today. When we come up with our own design, our own plan, our own scheme of redemption, when we come up with our own way that we're going to try to appear as holy before God, we are going to fail. We'll go about to establish our own righteousness, and we will fail. But what Paul was pleading for here is that they might know the righteousness of God. That they might know the gospel of Christ and follow after it. But it's that message many of them have rejected. They have refused to grow in knowledge. They have rejected what they could know and put into action in their lives. And so they fell short of the righteousness of God. You see the difference? One listened to the Word of God and followed it. One heard the Word of God and rejected it. We're only going to be righteous. We're only hungering and thirsting after righteousness when we have that first mindset. A determination to know right and a determination to do right. But also it's going to show a distinction in our life. It's going to show, if you will, a transformation. That I'm no longer like the world around me. I'm no longer searching after what the world does, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I'm no longer searching after what this world has to offer. Instead, Paul says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, verse 2. I'm going to change my mindset. No longer conform to the ways of this world. I am going to be distinct. I'm searching after something different. I want to know God, and I want to know His will in my life. Also, it shows a denial. A denial that says, I'm going to separate myself from anything that's going to distract me from that goal. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 17. Come out from among them. Don't be like the world anymore. Separate yourselves away from them. Separate yourselves from the things of darkness. Live to the standard that God would have you to live to. We see this even in Matthew 10, in verse 32 through 39. We won't read that section, but maybe make that in your notes and go back and study that section. Where Jesus says, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father which is in heaven. And don't let anything distract you from following after me. Love me even more than father or mother, husband or wife, brother or sister, son or daughter. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6, verse 33. What's going to come first in your life? If I'm going to hunger and thirst after righteousness, there are some things in life I am going to deny myself from because I'm not going to be distracted from my hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And so in also we see dedication. Dedication that says, I'm going to keep doing this no matter what comes. You know, when you do this, people might ridicule you. Say, what kind of life are you living? They think it's strange that you run not with them to the same excessive riot, speaking evil of you, 1 Peter 4:4. That person's strange. They're weird. Why don't they run with us in the ways of the world? Why don't they seek after these pleasurable sins as the world sees it? But I'm hungering and thirsting after righteousness. I am dedicated to that goal. And so even though I may be spoken evil of, I'm going to keep doing right. Even though I suffer some persecution or go through hard times, Paul says, our light affliction. Here is one that has gone through great persecution and great trials to preach the gospel of Christ, and yet he says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17. I'm going to continue faithfully. I'm going to be dedicated because I know I'm looking forward to something far greater. Is that going to be our effort? Is it going to be our desire as we go through life? And I want to close this morning by recognizing what Jesus said there, that it is a rewarded desire. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Notice there, shall be filled. It is a promise. It is a certainty. They that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness will be filled. They will be satisfied. This shall be filled, as I understand it, is one word in the Greek. An idea or word that meant something of a fodder. It was used or applied in the sense of an animal that was penned up and fed and fattened up. It is satisfied. He has all that he needs. He has all that he desires. And we'll be able to find the same thing when we're hungering and thirsting after righteousness. The psalmist, speaking of God, said, He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungering soul with goodness. Psalm 107 and verse 9. You shall be filled. It recognizes the promise of Jesus even later in this same sermon. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew 7 and verse 7. You will be filled when you're seeking after these things. Is that not even the promise of Jesus in John 8, verse 31 and 32? Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you're longing and hungering and thirsting after righteousness, if you want to know those things that are right so that you can put them into action in your life, you will be filled. If you continue in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If we will continue going back and studying and learning and growing by the Word of God, we are going to know the truth. When we apply it in our lives, it makes us free, free from the burdens of sin. It's now going to have us seeking after those things that are right, those things that are good as defined by God. And he that doeth righteousness is righteous. Indeed, you shall be filled. When we think about that, we begin to understand therein is the ability to be right with God. Because when I'm hungering and searching after righteousness, when I'm putting it into action in my life, understand then the past is going to be made right. When I obey the gospel, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more, Hebrews 10 and verse 17. Those that are under this new covenant that the Hebrews writer is praising, I will remember their sins and their iniquities no more. Their past sins washed away, Acts 22 and verse 16, that our sins are washed away even in the act of baptism. When that blood of Jesus Christ is applied into my heart, those sins are washed away, remembered no more. It also gives me the ability to be right here and now. If I walk in the light as He is in the light, I have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1, 7 through 9. It gives me the ability, when I'm hungering and thirsting after righteousness, to be right even now. Because those sins can be forgiven. As I'm walking in the light, as I'm searching after righteousness, as He is in the light, that's when the blood of Jesus Christ is going to continue washing me from those sins. It's not when I deny that I have sin in my life, but it's when I'm willing to confess it, recognize it, turn from it, even repent of it. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Past sins are forgiven. Even the present sins that I make mistakes and errors even here and now can be forgiven. And I can be right even in the future. That's the hope and the confidence of Paul as he reaches the end of his life and says, I'm now ready to be offered. I'm right with God. Time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 through 8. Paul was able to have great confidence, even in the hope and the promise of the future. Because I've walked with God. I've been faithful. I have lived that righteous life. And so I can depart now, knowing that I'm right with God. Numbers 23 and verse 10, I can die the death of the righteous. And I can know that eternal home that I am going to. Psalmist long ago said, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so my soul panteth after Thee, O God. Psalm 42 and verse 1. Will that still be our same desire today? Am I still hungering and searching after righteousness? Is it what drives me? Is it what motivates me? Is it what I'm seeking after even daily in my life? It's not a one-time fulfillment. It's something that I continue to hunger and thirst after. Day by day, I'm going to continue searching after God. Continue searching after His will and knowing it. Then I'm going to put it into action in my life. Let us even hunger and thirst after righteousness. Maybe there's one here today hungering and thirsting after righteousness that recognizes I'm not yet right with God. But because of the gospel of Christ, I'm ready to respond in faith and obedience to it. I can be right with God. I'm hungering and thirsting for that right relationship with Him. So believing the gospel, having faith in God, I'm ready now to repent of my sins, turn from them, and now walk with God. I'm ready to confess Jesus Christ as the very Son of God. I'm ready to be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of my sins, that they are washed away, and that I'm added unto that body of Christ, the church that He's promised to save. as a member thereof, I'm going to continue hungering and thirsting after righteousness. That's how my faith is going to grow. It's how I, as a Christian, am going to grow in the kingdom. Recognizing I'll make mistakes, but He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. When I'm ready and willing to confess, to repent of those things, pray to God for forgiveness. We're ready to help you if that's your need even this day, or some other need. If you're subject to that invitation, wouldn't you even right now make that known as together we stand and sing.